You know, Sensei Jackie, we've done a number of episodes on Grandmaster Peter Urban's book, The Karate Dojo.
And yet, we're about to do one more.
That's right. This one is about seven lines of text located on or about page 77 of Grandmaster Urban's book. Hey, when we talk about them, you and I, we decided to call them tenets, didn't we?
Yes, we certainly did.
And that's because he didn't really name them, which I found was a riot. But anyway, should we start by reading them?
Okay, but first, let's officially start the show.
Good move. Let's do it.
This is Wildcat Dojo Conversations.
In case you haven't guessed, I'm Sensei Michelle.
And I'm Sensei Jackie.
And we are so lucky to have Sensei Rob Carbone with us today. Welcome back, Sensei.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
We're always glad when you're here.
And I'm glad to be with you guys.
And of course, life is just going on. We're all staying busy.
Say that again.
So I want to say one more thing before we read the tenets. I'm pretty sure that this is going to end up taking two episodes because there's a lot of information to cover, even though it's only seven lines of text.
Yes, for sure.
So, Sensei Jackie, do you want to read those tenets out for us, or what we're going to call tenets? There are seven lines of text.
I will be glad to read them. A karate man in training is in karate. Strength comes from health. Speed comes from effort. Technique comes from experience. Willpower comes from faith. Serenity comes from old knowledge. Progress comes from new knowledge.
First off, way cool. Can we all agree?
Definitely.
What a great mind to have been able to put that so concisely in seven lines of text.
True. But when I got the idea for this episode, I reached out to a couple of people, as I often do, to get their opinions on the subject. And the first one that I'm going to share is about a conversation I had with Hanshi Melanowski. So he brought up a lot of great ideas in this conversation with me. But one that stuck with me was the fact that at one point toward the end of the last millennium, Grandmaster Urban turned this book, The Karate Dojo, into an audiobook. And Hanshi suggested that I buy it and listen to it.
Yes.
Well, I did. I did buy it, but it hasn't arrived yet. So if it has anything way cool in it compared to this subject, I'll put it in as my own personal listener mail later.
And on this recording, did Grandmaster Urban record it himself?
Yes.
With his voice?
It's his voice.
Definitely his voice.
Do you already have it?
Yeah, I have it somewhere in my home.
Oh, why shouldn't I borrow yours then?
I have to find it.
But I bought it and it'll come eventually. Anyway, Hanshi continued to tell me that Grandmaster Urban was a firm believer of continuing to grow and change as time pushed on. In other words, don't stick yourself in a place and not get out of it. And I appreciate that so much.
Yes.
So Hanshi said he thought that it is possible, even probable, that Grandmaster Urban would be interested in us having this conversation. How these tenets apply to us? Do we agree with exactly the way he said it? Just whatever our thoughts are. Is that cool or what?
Oh, that would be so cool. I wish he was here.
Me too.
All right, it's time for opinions. Are you guys ready?
We're so ready.
Very ready.
Let's get to it.
Us, a karate man in training is in karate. That's a very profound statement that one is always training in something that is very meaningful to them.
Okay, you know what I think? It sounds kind of redundant, and yet it's not.
That's right, because when you are focused on what you are doing, it makes such a big difference. You're not just, oh, I'm going to block here or there, or do my kata. But when you're actually part of it, you are in the moment.
In the present.
Exactly. I also want to say that those of you who are listening who don't train, assume that the majority of what happens as a karate person trains is more punching and more kicking. And that is true.
Yes.
But the training becomes more and more internal. So you're talking about your own character development. And on top of that, it spreads out so that it isn't just happening inside the four walls for 4 hours a week, but it's happening within you every minute of every day. So a karate man in training, they are in karate. Does that make sense?
Yes, and it's at all times, all places. And it's, I think it's very surprising when you, or when I apply a karate principle to something that's going on in my life, like waiting in line at Walgreens.
Or putting up with annoying neighbors.
That's right.
I mean, it's just, there's a million of them where your karate comes into your life. I love it. And I love that it's succinct in this little line. Us?
Definitely.
Us.
But what is succinct and what comes to me is really Grandmaster Urban's tenet number two, or the second one.
Well, the second line.
The second line.
Exactly. Maybe he'll tell us in the CDs.
Maybe.
Okay, what is it?
It is strength comes from health. Now, healthy mind, healthy body, healthy spirit, those are all ideas of Grandmaster Urban. And from those comes strength of body, strength of mind, and strength of spirit.
Zen Ken Ishwa.
That's right. But one cannot have strength if you're not healthy. It's just not going to happen.
I completely agree.
So what you're saying, because this is what I thought when I read it, is you could flip-flop that. Health comes from strength, and strength comes from health. It is an infinity loop.
It definitely is.
I love that. I thought of it right away when I was looking at it, getting ready for this.
I could share when I had my surgery, which was pretty open heart, triple bypass. And when I came out of the surgery, like minutes after, I didn't even have the strength to lift an ice cube.
Wow.
I mean, to put some credence on health and strength in that relationship.
And then getting back to having strength and health took a real willpower, a real chi, which we're going to get into in just a minute.
Definitely. It's a slowly have to build back up.
But now a year and a half later, you are building.
Oh, yeah. Very good now.
It's kind of amazing to me because you did have to say to yourself, I'm sure, I could do this.
Yeah. But any listeners who have even had small procedures, whether it's something as simple as dental or whether it's something huge and life-shattering, there is a curve right there where your body needs recovery time and you need to bring your strength back.
And you have to be strong to say, I'm going to recover, and letting your body do the recovery, not just the jumping up and saying, well, I'm okay now.
Exactly.
Everything takes time. It's a process, you know.
Well, life is a process.
I mean, just
you're here and then one day
you're not.
building back up. You know what I mean? It's like baby steps.
And I have no idea exactly how I'm going to segue out of that line into this, but my tenet is speed comes from effort. And I thought it was wonderful that I got this one because I realized this is a tiny bit out of line. So please, everyone, forgive me an opinion. I actually am not crazy about the word effort. Effort is defined as a vigorous or determined attempt. And yet Master Collegian always said that speed at its best comes from stillness or even calmness, right?
That's right.
So I like that visual that, yes, it's true. In order to get fast, let me just be real practical and say I could work on a speed bag. Yes. And then I have a faster strike. However, when you're thinking of applying the concept in all of your life, you don't want your body to be tight when it's going to be fast. You want it to have calmness. And then on point of explosion, it creates that strength, that power line. I don't know. What do you guys think on that?
When I read it, at first, I also thought of Master Collegian saying, coming from stillness or softness. But then I said, well, what if I were trying to learn math problems?
Okay.
The multiplication tables. So in order to be faster, I would have to practice them more. So that would be the effort that I had to put in at that level. And that made sense to me that way.
So you could apply the word repetition or work there instead of effort.
Or practice.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And that would be, to me, the way to really go about understanding this, because speed is so tricky.
And depending on where you're going to do it, how about a witty comeback?
Oh.
That one takes some practice.
And yet, in the dojo, when our young students become teenagers, all of a sudden, it seems like they pick up speed in everything they're doing.
Well, their body is changing.
Right. But, you know, they used to be lackadaisical doing kata, and all of a sudden it's bam, bam, bam.
Okay. All right. Here's a funny example. How about when we watch somebody do a shodan test, and it's like they're taking methamphetamine before they do kata?
Yes.
Yeah, they go so fast.
Oh, yes.
I can be done with this one.
A kata that should take 2 minutes is 45 seconds. And you're like, wait a minute, are you done?
It's just one element.
That's right.
Luckily, we've done plenty of shows on the elements. And I'll tag them in, a couple of them.
A couple of them.
And people can read about it. But speed is one element.
Especially the fire one.
Okay, I'll try. You've got this next tenet, Sensei Carbone. And the thing that makes this interesting to me is that it connects to speed, but it is not one of the elements.
I agree with that.
So let's read it.
Technique comes from experience.
What do you got?
Well, I think with technique, if you think back being a white belt and take a simple form of Taki 1 and you're very awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember one time, and I was, you know, maybe training under a decade, Sensei stopped the class and he says, look at Sensei Carbone. He's doing Taki 1 in the back. I wasn't doing Horufa, Taki 1. And it was all those years of 10 years of working the same kata to actually get the purity of it, that it actually was way better than when I started as a white belt. And that's what actually happened on that particular day.
Yes, and it interests me that experience also is another way to say repetition.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
In this area. And from all those repetitions, we know, Sensei Carbone, that you developed a kata that I think it's on our YouTube page. And if anybody wants to see it, you can see how his years of experience have made the techniques in that kata absolutely clean and beautiful.
So our YouTube page is Wildcat Dojo, but that's where you're going to reach us all over the web. Except on Instagram, where we're three words long, Wildcat Dojo Conversations. And if you want to write us an email, we're at dojoconversations@aol.com. Hey, get in touch with us about this episode, please, folks. I'm going to get back to technique comes from experience. And as you heard me say, I agree with you about the word repetition. But let me push on that for a second, Sensei Carbone. Can we all agree easily here that it's easier to repeat something that you love it is to repeat something that you view, your attitude towards it is, I don't love this.
Definitely.
I'm going to say, and I don't want Sensei Jay specifically to be mad at me, mowing the lawn. So, you know, if I look at it as a chore, I don't take joy in it. But when I do kata, I do take joy in that.
Is that because you think there's a comfort level in that? Because I can see two things. When I'm doing an old kata, where I've done it a lot of times, I can really enjoy thinking about breathing or stances or whatever it is I want to work on. But sometimes when it's a new kata, there's just an inkling of fear of, will I ever get it? Will I remember it?
Could you call that anxiety instead? I really like to separate those two words.
Yes, I think that's a really good point.
Yeah. You're distracted by that anxiety.
And therefore, I have to repeat so many more times until I can wear down the anxiety that I have in learning something new.
I would argue that you don't have to repeat more times, because there was a point when the kata of your choice had that same level of anxiety to you. However, now you've got more kata that are in your comfort zone.
Yes.
And less kata that give you that prior day, that trouble day. But let's take it over to things that aren't kata, because sparring techniques need repetition and they do come from experience. And have you ever had somebody throw a sparring technique on you and you're like, God, I forgot that technique even existed?
Sadly, yes.
And then you laugh a little bit and you adopt it back into your, you know, into your routine.
Your repertoire, right?
Yeah.
And it always starts with, I should have kept my hands up.
And my favorite is, of course, when we're doing self-defense and one comes to me that I haven't thought of in 5 or 10 years, a technique.
I love it. And I love it when people come into the dojo and they've practiced their techniques in their mm-hmm. own dojo. And then they bring it in and it's so smooth. And I go, ooh,
I like that one.
I like that one.
And of course, now with the web, you can see a lot of people's techniques. They all are basically the same. Everybody likes to lock arms. Everybody likes to move out of the line of fire. Thank goodness.
Thai sabat. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to say on that one?
I don't think so.
So we have 3 left to do. And if I want to give them the time that they need, I'm not going to be able to get it into this episode. Do you guys agree with that?
I do.
I definitely agree.
So we're going to close this episode out real quick. And then we're going to start a second episode and finish up these 3. And that'll be fun. So the little bit of business we have to do is our sponsor, of course.
Honor Athletics, of course.
And she's at 770-945-5150.
You can scroll down in our notes and click the link anytime.
So if you're listening to this podcast, there's a screen with the podcast and the notes are right under it. There's just a bunch of notes I wrote with links to other episodes, et cetera. That's all.
So that's where you will find the link to Honor Athletics.
Or honor-athletics.com on your own. Cynthia used to sell gear down here in Broward. So if you're local, you're dealing with the lady who used to own Pro Karate on Commercial Boulevard.
And don't forget, mention Wildcat Dojo as you check out for your 10% discount.
And we want to thank you for listening. And Sensei Rob, since we're going to pick it up, let me say my first thank you to you.
You're very welcome, Sensei Michelle.
We'll see you next week.
And on that note, you know I'm going to sign us out.
Thanks for being here. Hope you join us again next week on Wildcat Dojo Conversations.
With the time we have left, we'd like to ask you to tell people about the podcast.
That's right. Please subscribe to us, review us, and please get in touch so you can come on and be a guest. Ask anyone who's been on the show. It's totally a fun afternoon.
And in case you didn't hear us say it at least a million times, we are at Wildcat Dojo all over the web.
So that includes Twitter, Facebook, our webpage, wildcatdojo.com. And if you prefer Instagram, you can go to Wildcat Dojo Conversations, where we have little short reels, and that's pretty cool to look at.
So much fun to look at. And you can always write us the old-fashioned way, an email at dojoconversations@aol.com.
Thank you for supporting us, guys, very, very much. See you soon.